This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
I have to clarify something immediately. I sent out a tweet that was clearly a joke earlier, and it said, January 1st, I will be joining Darren and Pierre as... as an insider, and a couple of my friends, credible people in the business, are congratulating me. There is no chance in hell that this company would ever want me or allow me to do something like that, nor do I want to. And it was a joke, so I'm not an insider. I'm not doing it.
And the one guy asked you, he's like, who's going to fill in on Overdrive? And you go, Al's brother.
Al's brother. We're grooming Al's brother.
By the way, he is about 20 feet away from me, Al's brother. He's in
How's he looking? Turtleneck? No turtleneck? What?
Dude, he is Bryson DeChambeau jacked. He has taken this quarantine and done work on himself.
Atta boy, Al's brother.
Yes, the chicken sandwiches that he was showing are out the window. He just has a bowl of broccoli in his little office.
I like it.
Al's brother,
you
have something to say or no? No, he does not.
Okay. Well, he's probably working on, you know, some vegetables or something.
Oh, he's doing squats. Exactly.
He's doing squats right now.
Squats.
All right. I love it. A
grinder,
pillar of health.
Too. Yeah.
Al's brother, a pillar of health. I mean, 2020.
He is really dialed in.
It's a wild scene in 2020. You got to watch out, man. You never know what's going to happen next. You know what I think I witnessed? And I was in so much shock, I almost feel like it couldn't be true. Or it was either they were buddies or brothers or joking or something. So I was picking up food at a restaurant over the weekend. And so I had a mask, right? Got to have a mask. Got to run in, pick it up. And then, you know, you got your mask on, quick grab, see you later.
What kind of food?
It was Al's brother before his transformation.
So just Wings. A grubby parm sandwich.
Yeah, it was a lot of food, and it was not healthy food.
Three wheels and wings. Yeah.
That's pretty much precisely. Maybe a dry rib or two could have been mixed into the routine in the rotation. So anyway, on my way out, I hear some guy. I'm positive this is what he said. He was doing a pickup, and he realized he forgot his mask. And he asked a guy if he could borrow his mask. And I thought to myself, like, I froze. I'm like, did I just hear that guy ask a total stranger to borrow his mask?
I think I would throw up. If you get a Rick mask and it's just rum and coke and darts, you would throw up.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Imagine a Rick mask.
Yeah, like just players... regular and rum and cokes right
and
in the
it's yellow on the inside.
Yeah, it's like a dirty white mustache on the inside. There's right. stains.
Yeah,
I would throw up in my mouth. I could not.
That.
I can't. Like, do you think he would have? Like, what if the guy was like, "Yeah, go ahead." Like, do you think the guy would have saddled it on?
If I
worn
saw
it, worn it backwards,
I think
mask,
he was.
I would throw up and run out of the store.
I have to believe the guy. He panicked. He realized I got to go. I got the order, and I got to get in there. I forgot my mask. I think if this guy pulled off his mask and handed it to him, I think the guy would have put it on and walked in there like Hannibal Lecter. And he would have picked up his order and, I guess, given it back to the guy.
And by the way, PSA, take a good smell of your mask.
Oh, dude, I read a story over the weekend.
No, it's like scrape your jibs if you're not smelling what you want to smell.
But that's the problem. That's the issue. My understanding is people, not everyone, but there's a lot of people who are allowing their oral hygiene to take a back seat. Because they're not going anywhere. They're not interacting with people.
No, but your mask is
you
your go-to.
What do you mean? You can still brush your
teeth. Of course
teeth. Like
you
your
can,
toothbrush
Noodles.
Is still in your house.
Of course you can. What I'm saying is I have read articles of people saying, nah, whatever. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. What do I care? Tinder's shut down. I can't, you know, there's nothing going on. So people just aren't brushing their teeth properly.
Yeah, well, if your mask smells like a porta potty, you've got to scrape them.
Well, you might need a whole
or just change the mask. Like some of people have these, I guess, reusable masks. Like if you put a mask on and you almost throw up, like your breath is out of control.
Do you think your own mask could ever make you throw up? I mean, I don't know if it's possible. It's like could
it's
your own mask.
It's
right?
Like people with body odor don't smell themselves.
Right. I don't know if that could happen, but there are probably some masks.
I think if you had a bar night, a bar night with darts thrown in with Greek and tzatziki, you could throw up with your own mask.
I think you're probably right.
I agree.
If you, you know what would make you really throw up is that if you caught, like, you know, a whiff of tequila or something.
Yeah.
You know, or like
early
a Red
in the
Bull.
Morning.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I had 14 Red Bull and vodkas last night, and you fire on the mask to get home, and it's just loaded.
Just soaked.
Just
still
Jager
soaked
bombs.
With it.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
some good insight. Throw us your tweets and thoughts on what could make your mask make you pass out if you throw it on.
Yep. I think a combo of darts and Pilsner could go a long way.
Oh, for just sure. Stale beer and Players Light. It would make you sick.
I need to see Rick's mask. Yes. I need a
Give us
Rick
an
mask.
Idea what your risk Rick mask would look like.
You know,
send it at Overdrive or at Hayes TSN.
You know there's a mask out there that just has a small hole where the dart goes in.
Oh, yeah.
No, there's a blue mask that turned brown 2 months ago, and the guy still uses it.
Yeah, it's been in the back of his truck.
Yeah.
He fires that thing up whenever he's got to go into a convenience store for a new pack of darts or the beer store. That's it.
Yeah. Where'd you get the cardboard mask? No, it's actually a blue one. Thank you very much.
This is legit PPE from the front line.
Yes.
And now it looks like it has been hanging around a factory for about 6 years. All right. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, if you were in a horrible situation, horrible, you had to get into somewhere, but you had to borrow someone's mask, would you do it, and would you strap it on to get the job done?
No.
No?
Not a chance. Are you kidding me?
Well, okay.
What in life would you do to borrow someone's mask besides play Augusta?
I was just going to say play Augusta.
You'd fire up some guy's mask who's been smoking for 45 years and drinks 12 beers a night.
Yeah. And it was the color of cardboard.
I would wear O's underpants to play Augusta.
Yeah.
They might be more sanitary, though, than some guy's mask.
Yeah.
It depends on what he's been up to and what his diet's been the past week.
I would staple Al's brother's underpants right to my nostrils to play Augusta National.
Yeah, I think I'd be right beside you. Yeah. I'd be putting his socks on, everything.
Jeepers creepers.
Oh, no.
Yes. No, anyway, we're just trying to distract ourselves this afternoon. I'm sure you can imagine what the first hour was like. Just flamethrowers, because here we are. Here we are again, right? You and I mentioned this off the top of the show, that this station launched 9 years ago, but it's been 10 days or 10 times over the course of 10 years where I've looked back on a Leafs season, a failed season, and you've been with me here since day one. So we've been having these chats for, you know, this is the 10th year. 10 years in a row. This is the 10th anniversary of us asking what the hell went wrong for the Leafs. And you take the floor. What do you make of the weekend, the season, you know, the whole shooting match and where they're at right now?
Well, I think some of the years you look back and you're like, man, we knew the team was no good in October, and well, they were no good, and so there was no surprise. And then there was hope when Babcock was hired that, you know, things would be getting better. And then they had that kind of a honeymoon year, and things did get better. And then the expectations started to climb. And you know, I think a real turning point for where they are now is when they signed John Tavares, and that the. You know, it changed everything for them. It changed their expectation from a growing and developing youth-centered team into a team that should compete now. You've got one of the better players in the league. You've got them on a gigantic deal. The cap is now tipped upside down because we know that the contracts for Matthews and Marner were coming shortly thereafter, and that, you know, and William Nylander was in the mix, and like everything changed to more immediacy. And so I think the disappointments are harder, and you look at with more scrutiny. And so I don't know how anybody could have thought that, hey, the team was going to be way better in August than they were in March. We talked about this, guys, right when they came back. Like, it's the same actors. Like, they could tweak the system, and but it's the same guys. The problem that I see really becomes, how do you get better when now you have more than 50% of your cap in four guys?
Well, Ray, what is your assessment of the game last night? And no one that's been in the game or as knowledgeable as you would like make a total assessment of a team from one game. But can you take anything away from that one game last night with the three best players on one line and what you saw after that? And can one game expose what was wrong with this team? Or is it just one of those things you can't judge on one game?
No, I think there was a bigger picture to that. I was thinking as I see the way they're lining the, you know, we're lining the guys up. And my first thought is they're, and it's hard to say because I don't know what they were really thinking, but this is just me thinking what they were thinking, is that if we can get a couple of goals out of Matthews, Marner, and Tavares, that might be enough to win.
Or our only chance.
Because we're not getting anything from the rest of the lineup. Very little of it. Like, look, Sheldon Keefe's got to make decisions, you know, and, you know, he's talking to his staff and the trainers and all that, and so they decide to get Johnsson in the lineup. Guy hasn't played since January. Like, maybe they're thinking, hey, in 8 minutes, maybe he could give us a spark of something.
That was a minor detail, I thought, but I didn't think it was the right play.
No, it is a minor detail, but it plays into the next part, is that when you play the three guys together, you got to play Nylander in the middle of the ice.
That was horrible.
And so to me, you're like, it almost felt like a little bit of desperation. And then you look at Columbus, and they played the same bloody game all the time. Now, some games they were better than others. They can't play a different game because they're not built that way. In their three wins, they took five penalties total. And what that does, aside from whether Toronto's power play is any good or not, is it keeps them in the four or the three-and-a-half line game, because he played 7D last night. So it plays them in a three-and-a-half line game. They just keep chugging away and churning the legs. And, you know, and then when they got to defend, they just pack up the middle of the ice. So, like, there's Toronto, there was a couple shifts. I just watched them again. And Toronto's got the puck for 40 seconds in the offensive zone. It never gets in between the dots. They're working their ass off, but it never gets in between the dots. And so, to me, the biggest problem is, how do you go from here to something better? Because they can tell themselves all they want that we're going to get better, we're going to be like Washington, and hey, maybe that's the case. However, what if you don't? What if Matthews' 5 years on his contract runs away here, and you're still not at the point where Washington finally was when they won, and you got to re-sign him? Then what? Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, I think the team, I don't think the team's got to be, like, you know, you got to look at it like it's the worst team ever. But fundamentally put together, I don't think this team has got the right legs underneath it.
No, and I think they proved that through the first 70 games, right? It wasn't just the past week and a half. They are a team with a lot of top-end talent. They get a lot of talent. But you need more than just talent in pro sports, right? Like, that's abundantly clear in every sport. That's not just a hockey thing. And it's multi-layered. It's the forwards, the defense, the goaltending. The coach has to hit the right buttons. And I do wonder if that was a part of what inspired Sheldon Keefe to put those guys together in the top six. I thought about it last night. Is when you consider the forward groups, five of the six guys in the top six are the longest tenured forwards on the team. And Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Kapanen, and Hyman. They've all been here for 4 years. And then Tavares. And we all know he would be inspired. He's been here for a couple of years. He's the captain. I wonder if Keefe went to the six of them and said, I'm loading you guys up. You're both lines are playing 20 minutes. You guys have been here the longest. You should have the most scars. You should be the most hungry. Let's go. It's game five. I'm going to play you. And he got three of them that showed up. The other three didn't. Kapanen, Nylander, even Hyman was not overly impactful last night.
Okay, but you put together a lot. Like, look, I'm no coach. I've never coached. But you put together three guys on a line with a guy that's not played center in forever.
Oh, I know, Ray.
And you put them together. And so they could be the longest tenured guys for 100 years. How would you expect that it's all going to hit on one night? It's not like Kapanen had a great series. Nylander didn't have a great series. And so you're going to, you know, your hope is that that line can really hit some notes for you. Man, that's a big, big hope. Because once the the, you know, Marner, Tavares, and Matthews got off the ice, like nothing happened last night.
Yeah,
that was like a 2.5 minute breather.
That's what I saw on SportsCenter, Ray. I was like, it's like the big guys are out there, and then they couldn't generate any team momentum. They had chances, they had quality stuff, but then when they left the ice, it was like.
But you expected more from the depth. Like, I think for the most part, you looked at the guys who were paid a lot of money, and they at least could have been a threat or were a threat, whether they could have been or were, like, they were there. But the bottom of the roster did not scare anybody.
Well,
like,
even Nylander makes a lot of money too, Jamie. No, he was the worst player on the ice.
Well, listen, he got put in a bad situation. I'm not going to defend him, but what I'm saying is when they split those guys up early in the third, he got one look, right? Because he ended up getting – he was playing with guys who could get him the puck, and he moved his feet a little bit. But to me, I look at Johnsson. Yeah, he got put in a tough spot. Johnsson, I mean, maybe it's different if he scores. Like, that was a ridiculous save by Korpisalo. That really was. But I looked at Mikhaev, Engvall, like, you know, Clifford, all of those guys. Like, they tried hard, but the teams that win, their depth, they contribute. And the Leafs' depth did not contribute. And to me, that's where they're exposed is, yeah, they're top-heavy, but the bottom brings you nothing. And all I could think about is, like, where's guys like Malgin? And, like, they're gone. That's
Malgin,
it.
Remember Dennis
Malgin? But I know, but I'm saying, like, that's – Kyle kept doubling down to players like that. You're like, where – there was – when I watch Boston play, you know, Sean Corrali chips in, like, at the – Nola Chari it was when he was still there. Like, it was fourth line that would get you. Yeah, Jason Spezza had a fight, and to me you could tell he was pushing. But, you know, you shouldn't have to rely on that. You should have depth that could push and be a threat. Columbus does. Columbus' fourth line's got speed, and they were a threat.
But, Jamie, that's why this series was so fascinating, is that It is the ideal of Kyle Dubas and the Leafs of skill versus an ideal of something else in Columbus.
Right.
Right. And so the guys that he brought in, the Nick Patans and Dennis Malgin, you can say it's a little bit of a shot in the dark. And these guys had, you know, Patan in particular had lots of American League success, but they don't change the makeup of their team because their vision is of this skill that can be in and of itself the way to win. And I love skill and I love goals as much as possible. I'd have the goalies wearing bathing suits out there if I could to get more goals, but I don't think that's how you win. I don't think you can skill your way to victory. And the problem they have is now that they're in, and it's all tied together, but now that through no fault of their own, the world got hit in the head with a hammer here, and the cap is at $81 million. And so you've got $37.5 million in the four forwards. It's going to be really hard for everything you just explained, Noodles, to get different, to be different. Now, maybe it can be if Nick Robertson can come in on a cheap contract and play well. Maybe they get a lightning bolt and win the bloody lottery tomorrow.
Tonight.
Right? Like,
tonight,
rather. Like, you know, like, maybe they need cheap, good players. However, where do you find enough of them? Because, let's say Robertson plays well and, you know, they end up with the top pick. It still doesn't help their defense. My goodness, that defense is problematic. And it's been problematic for a few years.
A long time.
And so you can hope and say there's growth and all that, but go back again to, and it's of no fault of his, but when they signed John Tavares, the expectations changed.
Well,
and the results were supposed to be closer to being around the corner than they've turned out to be.
Big time. And what happened, I believe, a few weeks, maybe a month prior to that, was Kyle Dubas got the job over Lou Lamoriello. And Dubas took over, and Tavares fell on his lap, you know, and he was a part of that pitch, clearly. But since then, they are not a better team today than they were 2 years ago. They might have more talent. They got more skill. But the standings indicate that. That's not some flame-throwing hot take. That's just the standings. They were straddling the playoff line this year. straddling it. They got a coach fired. So you can't sit here and say they're way better than they were 2 years ago. They're not. They're different. They're built different. They're talented, high-end guys, I think, are in a better position in their careers. Matthews is better today than he was 2 years ago. Yeah. Marner is. Nylander is. I think Riley is. I don't know if Freddie Anderson is. I don't think John Tavares is, because I think he's probably going to – he's on the other side of his peak now in his career. Still a great player, but he's not going to get better over the next 2 or 3 years. So it comes down to Dubas, and here's a reality that we may be facing in about an hour. If they don't win the lottery tonight, they're up against the cap. They really don't have that much flexibility, and the cap isn't going to move for the better part of 2 or 3 years. And
they don't have a first round pick.
And they don't have a first round pick. So, you know, if you need, there's a lot of things that are obvious here. They need to improve their defense. They got to turn it over. Like Riley, I think, will be here. I don't know if that's a guarantee or if it should be, but I think he will be. I Muzzin will be. I think Sandin steps in next year, probably, but that's a third-pairing guy. Justin Hall, I think, is a third-pairing right defenseman. So maybe you've got your third pair and your first lefty and your second lefty. You need a number one right defenseman and a number two right defenseman. How are you going to find that? It's not going to be for Kasperi Kapanen or Andreas Janssen.
And if you want to chip in, like Tyson Berry was supposed to be.
He was supposed to be, yeah.
He was supposed to be a triple off the wall, not what he was. I mean, I don't know if you're going to get a home run from him, but you were expecting a lot more than that. And then if you want to try to sniff out some kind of financial deal where you squeeze a guy like CeCe in, I don't know. I've heard the stories about, you know, CeCe and people's thoughts in Ottawa, and I was like, I really like the player. And he got here, and he was a disappointment. He was I was disappointed for what he brought to the table.
You're not alone. There isn't anyone that could suggest that they were happy. Like that, he just never found his game.
Never.
He never found it. So he's gone. I would think he's got to move on. He's got to move on. Cody
makes a lot of money too. Like that's the thing. Cody CeCe does. Tyson Berry, they had a $2.5 million. Correct.
Right.
Wasn't that didn't Colorado?
Yeah, Colorado ate some money.
But. Barry, I'm sorry, CeCe was 4+.
Yep.
So you've got to find a way to spend that money on the back end a lot more efficient. And if you believe that Sandin's going to step in, and is Liljegren, I don't know, is he going to, or are you going to have to
try? I'm
not
sure if he is or not.
He's getting close to that breaking point as far as being prospect, a suspect, and being an NHL player, I would have to think.
Okay, guys, but hang on. Say they do break it. Say they both play next year. Does that make them appreciably better?
No, they're third pairing guys as kids. Yeah,
not at all. And so the real, I know we say this a lot, and lots of times it sounds like hot air, but I don't know how they can return the same real core of this team and expect the results to be way different. Because had they beat Columbus, like, did people think they were going to go on a 5-round spree? Like, this team was going to be, like, isn't that kind of the goal of what they got going here, is to be a team that can contend for a cup?
Right.
That wasn't happening. Yeah. Like, they might have beat Columbus last night in Game 5, but that wasn't going to happen. They weren't going to win another 2 or 3 rounds. Like,
the one thing that I keep hearing from people I talk to in hockey is balance. You look at the Philadelphia Flyers, like, that team is sneaky balanced. Like,
no
they're,
kidding.
You know, from top to bottom. Obviously, it helps to have a young stud in net, but their defensive core is mobile.
I love that decor. Young, big, mobile.
But they drafted them all.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, that's, but what I'm saying is the league now, it seems like the teams that have 4 lines and mobile D and adequate goaltending have that balance. They're the ones that are expected to go deep. We're not talking about a Leaf team that has balance. We're talking a Leaf team that has high-end talent at the top and then adequate players below. And that's not a championship formula right now. Are we agree? Do we agree with that?
Yeah, yes.
Of course.
And here's the problem with, you know, when you talk about Philly, though, Noodles, I was just thinking as you're – so Ron Hextall and Chris Pryor were in charge of the Flyers, and they drafted those guys. Provorov, they got Philippe Myers as a 6'7" right-handed defenseman, went through the draft. They signed him as a free agent. They got Sanheim. Then they drafted Konechny. Couturier, it takes a long time once you draft them, like years. And in the meantime, Hextall got fired. And so, like, a lot of this team is his team.
For
and
sure.
it takes time. And they got Carter Hart in the second round. So now as we're talking about, you know, the balance and getting that balance, and you've still got, you're paying a bulk of your salary cap to guys that are expected to be part of a team that wins now, but you're looking for balance, which takes time. It kind of seems to be in competition of each other. And that to me is a real point here that, you know, they have to determine exactly, are they a contender now? Like, to be honest, are we a contender now, or what we're going to need to do take more time?
Well,
I think they've got to build through time. I just don't think you can replace their holes. Sorry, Brian. I don't think you can replace their holes. They don't have enough money to do it in free agency or through trade, because it's going to have to be, I would assume, dollar out player for dollar in player.
Right. I totally agree. Just based on the circumstances, right. You know, if you don't have much cap flexibility, you don't have a ton of collateral, if you don't have your first round pick, if you are truly adverse to trading one of your top two or three guys, which Dubas has always indicated he is. Now, that might change. There's only so much you can do. There's just a limitation. And I think that is likely what is so disappointing for a lot of Leaf fans today, is a couple years ago, it felt like they were just this juggernaut that was getting off the ground, right? Like they had done all the heavy lifting. They blew it up. They reloaded. They built through the draft. They had the superstar talent. They found a goalie in Anderson. They had a coach in Babcock. And it was just a matter of time before they start going on cup runs and maybe win a cup. And it felt like that's where it was going. And now 2 years later, you don't have the same feeling. You know, you can't. It doesn't mean they don't still have talent. Of course they do. They're a middle of the pack team. That's not terrible. They're not Detroit. You know, they're not one of those teams. But you can't sit here with a straight face and say that they're Boston or Washington or St. Louis. Either like with, right. they're not a player away from that.
Colorado, yeah. I mean, teams like that, like
they're just not at that level, and they weren't at any point this year. This isn't a 1 week overreaction. It's just that's what they've built. This is, I don't know how they got here, but they got here. And to get to that next level, it's not a trade or two away. It's not a signing or two away. It's probably more than that.
Well, I'm going to go on record saying I think this lottery tonight is ludicrous.
Yeah,
I think
it's
ridiculous,
crazy.
And it's an embarrassment.
Well,
and
with that in mind,
let
me hit the simulator here quickly. Oh, Florida just won. There you go.
That's twice today they've won on your simulator.
Okay, so yeah. Florida. Maybe
you know who's going to win this?
Edmonton.
No. Minnesota.
I think the Rangers are going to win.
I think it's Minnesota. Bank it. Bet on it.
Okay.
I don't know why, but just bet on it. Because
yeah,
it's all rigged.
Of course it is. It always is.
A hundred man. Pick a team. I say Edmonton.
I'll say the Rangers.
I got Minnie.
Noodles?
Winnipeg.
Okay.
So you win 300.
Okay. That seems
like
reasonable.
Hayes, this is like Hayes's
this is his dorm room. It's his dorm room right now.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just a pit boss in here just trying to take money from people.
Rake it out. Rake
All
it
right.
out.
I like it. All right, buddy. Well, I guess we'll catch up with you later in the week.
Yep, we'll talk to you then. We should chat about the lottery tomorrow. I mean, I think that's probably
enough. We'll have fun with that. That'll be fun. That'll be all cheery and good times.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, buddy.
Have a good day, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking all the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. The NHL draft lottery for that number one pick. 8 teams are in the lottery. The Maple Leafs are one of them. That'll be happening in the 6 p.m. hour, so we'll keep you up to date on that. We've all picked. I'm on the Rangers. You're on Winnipeg, Noodles.
Yeah,
Oh, you're on Edmonton.
I kind of hope, honestly, that Nashville gets it. Like, they've never had a number one pick, number one overall pick. You know, they do need a top-end talent. You know, they've tried to draft and develop there properly. You know, a couple trades, hit or miss, free agent signings. But it would just be nice. I think Nashville kind of hides in the weeds. I don't know if that'd be great for the league or not. But
are you guys going to have a side team, Hazy? Are you a Habs guy now?
No, I don't have a team now going on a run.
Canadian teams left. What was your over-under on that, Jerry?
I think it was 3.5. 3.5.
Wow.
And I think we all went over. We all thought 4 would get in anyway. Because one was guaranteed. One was guaranteed.
We all thought Montreal. We almost thought five. I think we all were like Montreal's no chance, and then everyone else is.
I like Vancouver, Edmonton, and Toronto. Yeah, I did. Absolutely.
Right.
But there you go. Montreal's through. So look who's laughing now. The Habs are continuing to roll. So, and Vancouver. Vancouver's a fun team to watch. Like, that was a cool game. Like, them storming back and winning in overtime. And, you know, they'll be a fun team to track. But with the Leafs out, with McDavid out, I just go to the superstar. I would love to be seeing McDavid play every second night. And it's just, it's not going to happen, clearly. So we're tracking the lottery. We'll get into the Jays, the PGA Championship. Again, the Raptors in action tonight. They have locked down the two seed, so they're going to play Brooklyn in the first round of the playoffs. They know where they're going. They just got to get there. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, will join us in the next hour. The NHL draft lottery for that number one pick is ongoing into the 6 p.m. hour, so we'll be tracking that. The Jays are off, but the Raptors are in action tonight. The Raptors clinching that two seed over the weekend. We knew that was just a matter of time. And they're going to get Brooklyn in the first round. And they're playing Miami tonight or Milwaukee tonight. Giannis is out. But the Raptors are just going to throw this in neutral, I think.
Yeah,
just like
Baca's
Milwaukee
not playing
is
tonight. I think they're resting guys tonight.
Yeah, of course.
You should.
What's the point
everybody,
now?
Everybody. You rest
exactly.
Everybody.
Yep.
I
you
agree.
Just you just get there now. Like, you these 8 games are just kind of an obligation to the league and to the media partners, and allowing you to kind of warm up and ease into it. And you know who you're playing, you know when you're playing, and it's all good. You know, the Raptors are in a great spot. They're healthy. They've acclimated to the bubble. The bubble has, there's been no COVID penetration of the bubble, right? Like, they just keep coming back with negative test after negative test. The same thing in Toronto and Edmonton. It's pretty incredible what these two leagues have been able to pull off.
Well, it's been a massive commitment, but you're happy for them because we're all better off because of it, their commitment. Like, I've been so excited to watch these games, regardless of the outcome. It's amazing to sit at home while we're still going through this. Obviously, they're lucky enough to be in there, and they're committed to it, but it's been fantastic.
Yeah, it has.
Peter's been great. It really
has. It's been great. Yep, it really has been. And we're a month away from the first NFL game, a month tonight.
And where are they standing on fans being in the building?
I haven't heard anything on any team announcing
they can't be moving forward with that.
I don't think so. I mean, I will admit I haven't been tracking the numbers down in the States a lot over the past couple of weeks. I've kind of gotten to a level of fatigue with COVID outside of our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like,
and the numbers are like, the numbers are so crazy.
Yeah.
Because there's people arguing, well, the numbers in Florida, but there's no cancer deaths, no deaths of heart attack, just everyone's died of COVID. Like, you know, it's almost like there's some political plays around there too, but you know, deaths, the numbers are crazy through the roof in all of these states, and you hope that it's starting to at least subside, but I don't think
you
it
hope
is.
So, but it doesn't feel like it is.
No,
and
I don't
as
think
for
it
fans
is.
In the stands, I don't see it happening. I think they're going to cancel college football. Like, we're waiting on that announcement over the next couple of days, and there's pushback from players. Like, I don't know if you guys saw Trevor Lawrence and his tweets over the weekend, and he wants to play, and he's pushing. He actually explained why he thinks it makes more sense and it's more safe for them to play. You can argue it all you want. But it wasn't some goofy, immature tweet saying, you know, suck it, we want to play, you guys are losers,
right.
Don't, you know, we're just a bunch of kids, leave us alone. It was thought out, and he detailed it, and he's the last guy in college football that needs to play. He's going first overall, likely, whether they play or not.
Right.
Right? So he doesn't need to play. He's won a national championship. He's been to two. But he's pushing for it. But I don't know what they're going to do in college football. But if they don't play and Saturday night opens up to the NFL, there's a lot of people that believe the NFL will sneak right in there and start playing games on Saturday night. And once they start, they're never going to give it back.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night.
Yeah, because they've always just kind of stepped aside for college and said, okay, that's your day. You guys go ahead.
Right.
And now I'll bet you the NFL, if they get in there and they like it and the numbers are high, they'll be like, screw it. We're not moving now.
And they'll blow out the Thursday night.
Well, they'll keep that, too.
Well,
They'll own every big night. Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They'll play 4 nights a week. And TV networks will pay a fortune for it.
Yeah.
And they know
I'll be watching. It seems like the Patriots, though. How many players did the Patriots lose? Like eight?
Yeah, I thought six or seven, maybe eight, yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were the highest team as far as losing players. You see your buddy Stroman opted out?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the Strosho has had enough. He was injured, funnily enough, so I don't even think he was going to play anyway. Maybe he was. But now you look at the details of that trade. The Mets got him for 11 starts. 11 starts. Anthony Kay's already up here and performing. Looks like he's going to be a decent arm in the majors. I don't know if he's going to be a game changer, but this Woods Richardson kid, they're still really high on, and they think can start at the majors at some point in the next year, year and a half. And the Mets just gave those two pieces up for Stroman for 11 starts, albeit they couldn't possibly see COVID hitting, clearly. But now he's a free agent, and he might walk in the Mets.
I'm sure Toronto's a lot happier than just the players and prospects they have, just removing that personality from the locker room.
Yeah, I think that became pretty clear. They wanted to move on from him. And they did, and they wanted to turn over a new page. But, you know, listen, the Jays, it hasn't gone well for them this year either. They lost another series over the weekend. They got walked off last night. They can't hit. They cannot hit. Like, they rely on home runs, but it's all solo home runs. What do they hit, like 16 solo home runs in a row? It's something, some ridiculous stat. And they're 29th in the league on base. They're 29th in runs scored. I think they're 21st or 22nd in slugging percentage. They can't hit. The pitching's held up well. The pitching's about top 10 throughout the majors.
And watching them last year, you thought that would be the least of their problems.
Right. But those young kids were really producing kind of first time around the league. Mm-hmm. And now the league may be figuring them out a little bit and vice versa. You know, you start to have a little bit of the dust settling, you know.
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, it's a scenario where you're playing teams like the Red Sox. They're supposed to take a step back. You know, you're supposed to get those wins, and now we're into the middle of August. The season's over in, like, how many days? 57 days or 58 days or whatever it is. And there's a bunch of teams that have barely played. St. Louis, how many games have they played? You know, it's crazy what's going on in baseball with the shutdowns and them just trying to battle through it. And if they've got through this, I'm assuming they're going to get to the end now. But anyway, we'll get back into that in the next hour. We're tracking the NHL draft lottery, which will take place in the 6 p.m. hour. The Leafs have a 12.5% chance of winning that top pick. If they don't win it, their first rounder this year goes to Carolina, and that is going to be, I believe, either the 13th or the 14th pick overall in a deep draft to get rid of the Patrick Marleau deal. That's just a cherry on top for what we've been dealing with. It's a struggle.
A spicy meatball.
It's a struggle. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But we'll continue to look back on the weekend, the game last night, and look ahead to the playoffs, the round of 16. We know what the matchups are. We know what's going to happen. You're going to get daytime hockey for the next couple months. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so the draft lottery for that top pick is coming up in about 20 minutes. Let's hit the simulator one more time. How about that, Noodles?
Let's do it.
All right, so we've had Florida a couple times. We did have the Maple Leafs once, so, hey, they're in the running. Yep. And Minnesota. There's Minnesota with the first overall pick. And that would seem like a natural selection because, you know, they ran off a real heater before the break. They got in.
Right.
But they when Bill Guerin took over, it felt like, to me, he was looking at kind of scorched earth, like we really got to turn things around here.
I still think, Brian, he's headed that way. I don't know if you saw or heard of his presser today. Apparently he was very candid, saying he didn't like his goaltending, doesn't have a number one center in the system, still has to talk to Mikko Koivu and what he's going to decide with his future. Apparently, like Michael Russo, who covers the team and is pretty, is not shy to talk about the team either positively or negatively, said it was so refreshing to hear a guy like Guerin just lay it out, saying, you know what, like when I got here, I just wanted to assess what's going on, but I don't like my goaltending tandem, which was, they're both under contract for next year, so it would be interesting to see what he's going to do. But he was quite candid with the way that he feels he needs to change, and he didn't rule out the word buyout, which he said he will use a buyout if he needs to. So it was it's quite refreshing from a manager saying, hey, this is what I may need to do here to clean things up.
Sure. Bobby Mack, who is he retired yet? He's still working tonight. He's doing the
partially retired, isn't that what he
said?
Semi-retirement.
We knew that, but you know, he's still doing the lottery thing tonight. Is my point. Like, he's not just gone. He's not at the cottage or out of here or whatever.
Right.
But shout out to Bobby Mack. Mackenzie just tweeted out, quick update on how this is going to work out in the 6 p.m. hour with the unveiling of who's going to get the number one pick. He said it's going to be no turning over of cards or a countdown, just 8 ping pong balls with team logos, and it'll be Gary Bettman, the commissioner Bettman, will be sitting there. The machine will spit one out live, and he'll show it to the camera, and that's it.
Wow.
Which would indicate to me they realize how ridiculous this whole thing is, which speaks to why they should have never really done it in the first place, because this should be a celebration. Like, it should be. You get an opportunity to hype up who gets the first pick in your draft. This should be a huge moment and a big celebration, but the fact that they're going to do it in what sounds like somewhat of a nonchalant fashion and not overly dramatic or overly Hollywood, that leads me to believe they're almost cringing themselves. Like, this could be the Maple Leafs. Like, it might be Edmonton. Again.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to live with it. I still believe that Bobby Mack laid out brilliantly on our show last week why the league headed down this direction. And I don't disagree with them. Like, you know, you allow the Montreals, you allow the Chicagos who had basically zero chance to make the playoffs. Let's be honest. Like, Montreal,
no,
I think,
was
like 1%.
No,
they had no chance. So, you allow them into the mix, they end up eliminating some teams who should have been in the playoffs, who should be playing this week starting. So the consolation prize is you get an opportunity, quite a high opportunity, at a high draft pick, at Lafreniere. So he laid that out, whether you agree with it or not.
That's the system. That's what they chose.
That's the silver lining. That's what was everyone agreed upon. You can see the logic behind it. Whether you agree with it or not is a different story. But, you know, for me, if the Leafs win it, great. It's another tool you can use to help the depth of your organization to get better, because it's clear they need to get better, and they need to identify where they want to get better in critical areas so that they can be in that conversation with Boston and Washington and Colorado and whoever
else. Oh, it'd be a huge get for whoever gets
it. It would be. It's going to be a huge get.
The Leafs win it, there'll be an element of, you know, cringe and maybe embarrassment that they're there. But, hey, they didn't pick the system, and they're not there because they're the last-place team in the league. As we know. So, hey, you've gone this far. If you can get it, then...
then do it.
Then do it. Absolutely. I mean, you don't have a choice. It's not like you can do anything between now and the next half an hour. Whatever the machine spits out is what it's going to spit out.
Right.
But if the Leafs, if they can get them, huge. And I would assume they would take them and they plug them in. And if not, maybe they dangle the pick. I don't know what they would do. Who knows? But it would give you incredible collateral, and it would push over, you know, the pick you're going to give to Carolina to next year.
Right.
So,
which you're hoping would be a lot farther down.
I hope, but I thought this one's would be somewhere in the high 20s. You know, I think they were hoping that would be the case, and they swung and missed on that.
But that's the one thing when I'm looking at it, obviously, up front, is their left side is weak. Now, not everything you can't have the perfect balance. Like, you obviously have to focus on D. You have to focus on depth. But, you know, their left side with Hyman, Janssen, Engvall, where, you know, I think Nick Robertson's obviously going to be in there. But I think there were times in that playoff series he looked overwhelmed to me, like physically. I thought like, he's a low center of gravity guy, but there were times where he went in and you could tell the man strength, he got pushed around a little bit. And I think that's why they didn't want to put him in a situation to, you know, to maybe lose a battle. Janssen has that, you know, he didn't play in 6 months, but they thought he could give you 12 minutes or 10 minutes of some jump. It didn't work out, unfortunately, but we'd maybe talking something different if Janssen scores there on that one time.
But that was a strange play. Like, he hasn't played.
It certainly was.
In 6 months, he's coming off a torn meniscus that he got repaired, which is a really difficult rehab. I mean, I've been through it. And to get thrown in game 5 where you're not in game shape, maybe you don't have your hands, that one shocked me. I couldn't believe it. I thought we'd see Janssen at some point, you know, and clearly he would have been prepared to play in the next round, and that's fine. You reset and you go. But plugging him into the lineup last night, I'll say this, it was a gutsy play. You know, Sheldon Keefe, I think what Sheldon Keefe proved last night is he's not what he gets committed to in one game doesn't mean he's going to commit to forever.
No.
Right? He's going to mix and match and change things up, and he did that. Like, the lineup they put out last night was drastically different in a lot of ways than anything we had seen the whole year.
But I guess my question to you, and I'm going to play the contrarian, is don't you think Torch should have been the desperate guy? You know what I mean? Coming off of that, you've got a lot of momentum. You're feeling pretty good. And it was almost like Sheldon felt like he saw something there he wasn't comfortable with. So he's like, I need to change this. I need to change that. Where Torch was like, we're fine. Like, you even saw his, like, presser. He was like, we're fine. We screwed up near the end, but we're fine. We're not changing a thing. Yeah, we're going to start Corposalo, which you knew you were going to come back with. But you didn't really change anything. It just, you got lucky that Murray and Werenski were available to play.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that was another thing that, you know.
Oh, that was big. Werenski playing was clearly
huge.
He's right there. Him and
he's
Jones,
a difference maker.
That's
yeah.
the team. He's a difference maker, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, we're tracking the draft lottery, if you can believe it. The Leafs are in it again. Eight teams. They've got a 12.5% chance. The Oilers are in there. The
yep.
Penguins are in there. Winnipeg's in there. There's some Canadian content. So we'll know in the next half an hour. Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, will join us to break down the result of that, the Maple Leafs, as we look back on another weekend, another loss, another season, and another offseason of potential change. How much, we don't know, but we'll continue to discuss it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives, like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.